Today's episode of Market Talk brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit FSSystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for this Tuesday, September 21st. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thank you for joining us. As always, MarketTalkAg.com. That's where you can find us on the web. All of our streaming links are up there, our social media, latest news of agriculture, market information, more. It's all one-stop shop. MarketTalkAg.com is where you need to go. Well, we come back here on Tuesday after a really risk-off day on Monday. We saw soybeans stronger, quarter wheat were a little lower. We got plenty to talk about. Let's bring in our guest today, our friend Brian Split with AgMarket.net, joining us here this afternoon. Brian, good afternoon. Good to have you back on the show, sir. And you know, I just gotta start and ask. You know, we come through Monday, huge down day, all these China news with the Evergrande Group and just all these worries out there across the broad commodity sector. Then today, it almost felt like when we started, we kind of bought what we wanted to, and then there was a little pressure hanging around. I know we bought soybeans today, it sounds like, and just with the strength in the bean market. But overall, what's your thoughts with this market tone today after a huge risk-off day yesterday?
Well, you had beans take back about half what they lost yesterday. I think, admittedly, corn and wheat performed decently yesterday, considering the amount of selling that we had across the spectrum and the type of selling that we had in soybeans. We can't forget that we are approaching the end of the quarter as well. And so that does require some rebalancing. And so yesterday it was, hey, we're going to sell beans, and corn and wheat held in. Today it was, hey, corn and wheat are pretty weak and beans are positive. And so I do think that there's that element of end of the quarter fund rebalancing and getting things where they need as far as their positions relative to other positions. And then we're going to have the quarterly stock report right at the end of the month here, which is next Thursday. And that'll have a large impact on futures values for all of the products. But we still have that lingering macroeconomic concern that's still out there. I don't know if this is just a one-day event. We're going to have China's little holiday, and they'll be back in tomorrow, and we'll see if there's any major moves again tomorrow after a little bit of a bounce in some of the equity indices today. And so we haven't really been able to hold all of the gains that we had earlier in the day in the equity indices. So we'll see how those markets recover. But to the equity point, when you compare the upward trending channel that the S&P, for example, has been in for the last several months, and compare that to the structure of the channel that the S&P was in going into the COVID breakdown, there's a lot of similar elements. And so from the chart perspective, it looks like this correction in equities could just be getting started. You know, you look back to when we broke the uptrend back in March of 2020, we did have that next day where we tried to go back and recheck a large chunk of what we had lost, and that eventually gave way and we saw new lows the following day. So if we came in tomorrow and there was more heavy selling based on China, that would fit that pattern pretty nicely.
Brian, I want to stay on the soybean train a little bit. You know, we're starting to get some early harvest results. We're going to have more harvest action here once we get some more dry weather to move through the country later this week into next. But I want you to talk to us about soybean puts. I know we were chatting a little bit before we got on air here, just how low the volatility is there. And, you know, to me, it just seems like that's a no-brainer to try and protect your floor right now at some of these price levels. So talk to us and give us your thoughts on puts and soybeans right now.
You hit a couple of the key things, key talking points on options in general for soybeans right now. You had mentioned the volatility. The volatility value is one of the parts of an option value. So there's time value, intrinsic value if the market, if the option is in the money. And another large component of the value of the option is the volatility, the implied volatility. And so soybeans for November, we've got volatility in the mid-teens. Then you look at option volatility in corn and wheat, for example, are in the mid-20s. So relatively speaking, the soybean options are cheap because of that nearly 10% difference in the implied volatility. So a lot of this comes down to the thought process that we're working through right now on, okay, we've got beans that we know we need to market. Beans are tough, though. What are our yields? A lot of producers don't feel comfortable selling until they know exactly what's coming across the scale. So selling ahead of time is difficult if we're trying to really figure out, hey, we've got some sales on the books. We want to sell more. We're just not sure how much. So puts are a way to protect yourself. And again, we've identified that they're cheap because of the low implied volatility. But what we also have coming down the pipe is we have a quarterly stock report next Thursday. And so we've had several bullish quarterly stock reports this year. So what I've found a lot of producers are saying is, you know what, I will buy a put at the 1260 strike price, for example, and it's less than 20 cents. 1257 and a half was today's low, and then we got a nice bounce off of that. So I could put a floor in at today's low and give myself the opportunity to get into the field, see what yields are, see the quarterly stock report, and hope that in this downward trending channel that we're in soybeans, maybe we could go to the upper end of that channel, which is about 50, 55 cents higher. So I'll gladly burn, 10 cents of a put and let that devalue 10 cents if it allows me to sell cash 50 cents higher from here, all the while providing yourself protection in case we do see this Evergrande spiral into something more and we see more bigger picture outside market selling while we're trying to confirm our yields.
When we talk about yields, and obviously harvest is ramping up, and I know on Monday afternoon we got some surprising increases in condition ratings for quarter beans. I know Illinois was a big focal point of that, which that's been a roller coaster all year long with the Illinois crop ratings. But this late in the season, we wonder how much crop ratings really kind of fed into our market action. But I know I've been hearing reports of some late season disease pressure in corn. What are you hearing from growers east of the Mississippi? And is this something that is going to be more widespread that we could see impact our market trade moving forward?
So I think the disease pressure that most are talking about is this black tar spot. One of our own, Betsy Gibbon, who previously worked for Farm Journal, now is our media director. And so she covers a lot of stories like this. There will be a story on RFD TV tomorrow, I believe at 9 a.m., that covers this specific conversation, talking to some agronomists and producers that are seeing it. And I guess the gist of what I'm hearing is that the areas that are affected by the tar spot, it's similar to getting a early frost where it shuts the plant down and it dies very quickly. It does not allow the crop to dry down naturally. So you're going to see some yield loss. You're going to see some test weight issues. And another thing to be mindful of is this started as a Eastern Corn Belt disease that over the last year has started to travel further west. And so I think it's more of a bacterial thing. Is it in the soil? How is it moving? But is this going to continue to spread into next year's crop as well as those areas potentially expand? Now, from a balance sheet perspective, I think it could be something that we see maybe nip the yields a little bit in the areas in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Maybe those yields come down a touch. But it's also going to be something that comes in through the balance sheets in the big picture over time through usage. If we do see test weight become a part of the issue because of tar spot, we're going to use more of that crop to get the same results. And so you'll see an upfront yield loss, and then you'll see extra usage over time. Both of those would be a long-term friendly story. How much is it? How widespread is it? I really don't know how to quantify that quite yet, but I do think that we're taking the top end off of a lot of what we expected would be some of our best corn out there.
On the wheat side today, I know Savikon of Russia, they revised Russia's wheat crop forecast higher to 75.6 million metric tons. It was up about 200,000 metric tons. You know, and to me, it's felt like wheat has kind of been a leader here lately throughout our entire grain markets. And obviously wheat lower today, that seemingly kind of helped pull corn a little bit lower as well. But what's your thoughts about that number from Russia and just this wheat market? And maybe talk to me whether you think wheat has kind of been a leader or not, if you have an argument against that, Brian.
So I do think that late into August, as we were approaching September, wheat was one of the stronger markets out there. Making new contract highs towards the end of August, while corn and soybeans had obviously already made their highs months ago. So what we're seeing now, and I think wheat in general wants to try to make sure that it's priced out of feed rations. But the thing I'm concerned about, and it's very clear on the soft red wheat, so your Chicago variety, there's what looks to me like a very textbook looking head and shoulder top. You could look, see it in December, March, May. I'm most concerned about it in July. From the wheat producer standpoint, I don't know how much of the crop that was harvested this past summer is still in producer hands. So I think the risk on the downside on futures is probably more so on the new crop. And so I sent out a recommendation actually today to implement some additional hedges on the July of 22 Chicago wheat contract. Now, the hard red wheat and the spring wheat look a lot different on the chart, but I would say that hard red also has a very definitive level of support that you could protect in much the same way. And I think $6.80 a bushel for both new crop, hard red, and soft red is kind of that line in the sand.
Well, Brian Split with AgMarket.net, our guest today here on Market Talk. Coming up, we will take a look at the livestock sector. Cattle futures kind of chopping around again today, and more ASF worries for hogs. We'll talk about all that and the market implications next as we continue with more Market Talk right after this.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
As harvest begins, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to be diligent in taking the proper precautions to ensure treated seed does not enter the domestic or export grain supply. When properly handled, seed treatments are an effective agronomic tool that provides seeds the necessary protection for a strong, healthy start. Completely remove all treated seed left in containers and equipment used to handle harvested grain and dispose of it properly. Always be careful to follow state and federal guidelines for proper handling, storage, and disposal of treated seed. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
And we're back here on this Tuesday on Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you. Brian Split, AgMarket.net, our guest analyst here on the show today. Let's talk livestock, Brian. Looking at cattle, it just seems like this market in limbo once again today. I was happy with how the market held against all the risk-off pressure on Monday. Come back here today, though, just kind of chop it around, it feels like. But what are your thoughts on this cattle market here as we near the end of the month? And I know we have a cattle on feed report coming up as well.
Yeah, I mean, right now we had that breakdown last week coming out of the weekend with the fire and the plant in Grand Island. On Tuesday last week, we had a really good bounce off those lows, and that was just kind of a little dead cat bounce. Yes, yesterday, when you consider everything that was going on in all of the markets in totality, the feeders and the fat cattle held in exceptionally. But then when we had the markets, outside markets recovering this morning, they weren't able to hold those gains. And so right now, I feel like the cattle market may have made a little bit of a low, but it's really hard to come out and say that confidently until we can take out last Tuesday's high. I think for both the live cattle and the feeder cattle, a push through and a close above last Tuesday's high is going to say a lot for that market. And I think you'll see the technical buying really come in on that. But until we see that, it's more of a hopeful thing than something I can say with confidence.
And I think we're probably going to be waiting for a little bit of direction with cash activity as well. Last week was kind of just was quiet, steady to about a buck lower in most areas. So cash activity last week didn't really yield us any positives either, did it, Brian?
No, it didn't. I mean, we if we're looking for a good strong move here, unless the futures are going to lead it, we'd like to see the cash at the very least stabilize and not go lower. So. Some sideways trade in cash would be helpful. Some higher trade in cash, even better.
Brian, I know on the hog side, African swine fever is kind of the topic of discussion. Found in Haiti here now, having that reported. What are your thoughts with hogs here and with all the ASF worries? That seems to me what is top of mind for traders that's causing worry right now.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying you had mentioned that is been spotted in Haiti, and there's a lot of people at our southern border from Haiti right now trying to get into the country. I don't know if there's any way to potentially see that trickle in through that process, but something you have to be mindful of. The potential is there, but. Over the last couple of weeks, we've really talked about a head and shoulder top in October. Hogs was the front month contract when it really developed. Now December is the front as far as volume and open interest. And that chart still very much has a head and shoulder top. Traditionally on a head and shoulder top, it'll break through the neckline and then it'll come back up and retest the neckline. And we've done that up in that 75 area for December. We haven't been able to get back above that. So this still would measure down to about 68 on the December contract. So it still looks like there's some additional downside potential. Now, generally, for speculators, I'll take profit at the objective of the head and shoulder pattern, and that's just the measurement of the pattern. But for hedgers, the market doesn't necessarily just stop going down once it reaches the objective. So, I continue to be concerned both fundamentally and technically about the lean hog futures market right now.
Brian, any other final thoughts you have for us here today? A lot going on, a lot we're paying attention to with the markets right now. Anything else you want to mention or you want to reiterate for us?
I think we're at a point here where it's very obvious on December corn what level needs to hold here in order to keep the chart from falling apart. That's $5. We've seen the market test that over and over and over, and it's continued to hold. Again, in the vein of getting through harvest and getting through the quarterly stock report, which hopefully is friendly and gives us another impetus to get back up closer to the middle to upper end of this trading range that we've been in. If you're feeling undersold on grain, if your crop is better than you thought, having some puts under the market, probably not a bad idea. Again, they're awfully cheap in soybeans based on the implied volatility. We've been implementing some other strategies for new crop as well. We're concerned about the long-term potential for November of 22 soybeans. So when you look at the input cost for corn at $5 corn versus looking at $12.50 soybeans, most producers are telling me that that's a we're going to plant beans at that ratio. And so if we have big bean acres, we end up with a large Brazilian crop. And if they have good weather, remember, we're going to talk about a potential 140 million ton plus crop. Things could look a lot different come March when we're looking at our own planting intentions. And we're going to have a really good idea of what the Brazil crop is at that point. So I think looking at some hedges or some forward sales for beans for next year definitely should be on producers' radars right now.
Well, producers need a little advice. I know you and the team there at agmarket.net have a lot of great resources, a lot of great knowledge and insight, and it's pretty easy for people to reach you guys, isn't it?
It is. You can reach us directly at 844-4-AG-MARKET, so 844-424-6758. You can reach me on my direct line at 815-665-0463. Check us out online at www.agmarket.net and look at our app at www.agmarket.app.
Brian, appreciate the time as always, sir. Great to catch up with you. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Brian Splitt with AgMarket.net, our guest today here on Market Talk. That's going to do it for the Tuesday, September 21st edition of the show. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great afternoon.